This is VSiN's Bet the W. Here is your host, Danielle Albari.
Welcome in to Bet the W. I'm here with Calvin Wetzel, Danielle Albari, and we have a lot to talk about, Calvin. A lot went down on Sunday. So before we get into breaking down the five games, which we have five games on Tuesday, plenty of action to look at, we have to sip the tea. The tea is hot. It is piping. It is wonderful. So we have to get into this Sunday action because it seemed like every game had something going on, an altercation. But I think that the one we have to report, the murder we have to report, the Liberty, absolutely annihilating the Aces, 99-61, 38 point loss. That is quite a fall from grace. But we do see this from the Aces when they're getting beat. It almost seems like they're just like, well, I'm just going to cut out of this early. This is in front of a sellout crowd. They outscored Las Vegas 20-0 on second chance points, 21-14 on fast break, which is Aces, that is their bread and butter, and they outscored them in it. They outscored them in the third quarter 30-9. And Asia Wilson, a very strange 2-of-14 shooting game for her. What did you think of this one?
This was an absolute statement. We could spend this whole podcast just talking about this game or just talking about the day in the W. And I mean, even betting aside, like, it was crazy. Yeah. But I mean, with the Asia Wilson stuff, like, obviously she took that elbow from Jonquel. She left the game, came back in. Like, I think you can sort of give her a pass, you know, for this one performance. She's still an MVP, but this is about the Liberty. Like, this isn't really about Asia to me. This is about what the Liberty did. And, like, obviously
did so well.
They shot much better than the Aces did from three, but that does not explain 38 points. Like you said, second chance points, fast break, offensive rebounds, like every facet of the game just thoroughly dominated. And you are right. The Aces do this where you almost never see it, but we saw it when they played that back-to-back against the Sun earlier in the season, and one of those games they lost. And the Aces have such a thin bench, and, you know, it's so important to keep their starters healthy and rested for the playoffs at this point, that if they're even remotely out of a game, they're just going to sort of fold up shop, because why mess around? Why try to come back from down 23 in the fourth quarter? It's not going to happen anyway. Live to fight another day. So actually, relate it back to betting here, I hit the Liberty minus 28.5, which felt ridiculous. It won by 38 because I could sort of feel the Aces getting ready to take their foot off the gas, and the Aces bench has absolutely nobody. So that felt great. But this was Liberty futures are back. Everything about the Liberty is back. And this was, I think, as a neutral fan, this was really cool to see. It would have been cool to see a close game too, but you don't want to see like an Aces sweep in the finals, right? You want to see it be competitive. So this sent the message that the Liberty can do that.
It's promising, right? And we had no reason to believe that the Liberty weren't capable of this, except for we hadn't seen that really just foot on the neck from the Liberty yet. And we've seen it now. And like you said, last show, we're going to get a lot more of these Aces Liberty matchups very soon. So stay tuned. It's going to be exciting. The other standout of this, of course, Sabrina Ionescu, 31 points, 5 rebounds, 7 assists, 12 of 19 shooting. And our own Dana Mattia also pointed this out on Twitter. He said, I'm not sure it's being talked about enough. Maybe it is. But Sabrina Ionescu's uptick in production over the last month has been amazing. Not to mention, with 94 threes made in 26 games, she's on pace to shatter the record for most threes in a season at 121 at a 44.8% clip. So Sabrina, this last month, ever since she won the three-point contest, has just been turning things up.
Yeah, you know, and before that, she had flashes of this. She had this every, like, five games. But now she's been doing it every game. That's the key, is the consistency. She would go from 30 points to 8 points, back to 25. And now she's lighting it up every game. And like Dano said, the three-point record is in play. And it's really just like vaulted the Liberty to another level, that what we saw against the Aces. And sign me up for more of this. We get three more of these in the next, I think, 2 weeks. We get the Commissioner's Cup and we get two more regular season games. So like you said, bunch more episodes of Liberty Aces coming up. Sign me up for all of them.
Yeah. And do we know the date of the Commissioner's Cup? I know I should know that, but I know that we didn't talk about it last time.
I believe that it is on Tuesday. Let's see, what day is today? Monday the 7th, 15th, a week from Tuesday.
August 15th. in Las Vegas. Might have to be out there for that. I might have to make my way out there for the Commissioner's Cup.
And then they play the very next game right after that.
Yeah, yeah. And also, side note, just talking about right now, the Aces have to go play Dallas on Tuesday. Not an easy matchup. They have to play the team that has also handed them a loss this season.
Yeah.
So
a pissed
not
off
a fun
Dallas
bounce
team,
back
by
spot.
The way, for a lot of reasons.
Yeah. Yes. Let's get into that. Why is Dallas so mad? What is going on? What was in the water? Because Odyssey Sims and Dana Evans went at it on the court, kind of got into a little tussle, then took it to social media, which was also fun. because as ESPNW posted about the scuffle, they both responded. And I thought Dana's was better, but Odyssey said, "Don't ever come for me, period. I don't have time to give little babies my energy." So Dana came in and said, "Babe, you fouled out in 9 minutes. Your only stats were 6 fouls and 1 turnover. kill shot. Just absolute animosity. But frankly, it's bad. We talk about reality TV and how people love conflict. It's the same thing with sports. So I do think it helps the league. That there's a little bit of conflict and a little bit of chippiness, a little bit of back and forth, a little bit of competition. And then people were surprised because Ruthie Hebbard was all ejected in this scuffle, but it was because she left the bench to defend Dana Evans. That's why she was ejected. So just a complete mess. And then add to the fact that Arike Ogunbowale was ejected after making contact with an official, is what they say, but if you watch the clip, it kind of looks like the official's making contact with her, right?
Yeah, that was a pretty weak ejection. Not pretty. That was an extremely weak ejection, in my opinion.
Yeah.
It made me think of another one with the Sky team, Stu Dufall, a few years ago. I don't know if you remember that one with Kevin Fahey, who ejected her, and he kind of ran into her and then ejected her, and it's... like, let's just chill out. Like, that was not a big deal. She wasn't, like, coming at the ref or anything. But, you know, that was a whole nother thing. The whole, like, scuffle that you talked about was, you're right. Honestly, it's great for the league. It's entertainment. You know, I was glad that it didn't get, you know, actually violent, which another one did.
Yeah, we don't
we'll
want
talk
people
about.
Hurt.
But I love the social media beefs, and I think point Dana all around on that one because, number one, like you said, much better tweet. You know, if you're going to... or comment, where was
she's
that?
Speaking
Instagram,
with her stats.
Wherever it was.
Yeah.
Like, yeah. You got to back it up. Like, six fouls, one turnover, 9 minutes. You know, sorry. Like, you got to back it up. And number two,
room.
Like, it would be different if that were your stats, but you won the game because ultimately, like, that's what it's about. But you lost the game and you lost the game before that in a back to back set. The Sky just came into your own building and dropped 104 on you twice in a row. So. Yeah. You really just need to stop talking until you play them again and can really get them back at this point because, we'll talk about the Chicago Sky team more as we get into tomorrow's slate with betting-wise, but they just went into Dallas, a Dallas team that we've talked about on this podcast as being really hot, that we like, that we've been betting a lot, and just, like, ran all over them for 80 straight minutes.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm trying to see if they play again because I definitely want to set my alarm already for the next time the Sky and the Wings play each other. It was just a mess all over the place. Arike's ejection's ridiculous. Shout out Ruthie. I love it. Come off the bench, defend Dana. And that wasn't even the craziest fight of the day is what's wild. Brittany Sykes, Leija Clarendon, both ejected for this fight. You can look this one up on Twitter as well. And... we were kind of looking, I mean, I'm trying to put my analyst hat on, and it looks like Brittany Sykes, like, initiates this contact on defense, kind of wraps her up, wraps Day up. Hey, he, she, all of them, right? But wraps Leija up and then falls to the floor. It looks like they're kind of wrapped up. It looks like both at fault, so they do both get ejected. But just, like, where did this come from, this animosity?
Yeah, I don't know. It almost feels like maybe there's something building to it, because you're right. Like, I think Brittany Sykes escalated it to a point maybe it didn't need to get to. You know, just looking at that, it didn't look like any sort of like intentional type of malicious thing until she escalated to that point. But on a broader level, like when you had this going on at the same time that the Liberty were committing homicide, at the same time that the Sky and the Wings were playing a game with the most fouls all season that took 3 hours, that had on-court beefs and ejections and social media beefs. Like, you had 4 of the 8 teams yesterday have at least one player get ejected. You had the game with the least fouls ever in WNBA history and the game with the most fouls all season. Like the WNBA was just drunk, and I don't know how else to put it, yesterday. But
something was in the tea. Somebody spiked
the tea. It was so fun, and it made no sense, and I'm all about it. And give me more of this spice, drama, whatever you call it, for the rest of the season.
I'm just saying, if I'm Leija, what did I do, Brittany? Like, what? Because I don't feel like she deserved what came after, but, you know, it's fine.
No, I'm with it.
That's what my question would be. Well, we have five games on Tuesday. Let's break those down. The Connecticut Sun are at the Seattle Storm. That is a noon game if you're in Pacific time, 3 p.m. Eastern. So earlier side, have to get your bets in earlier. The Sun last played on August 4th, so nice full three-day gap in between games for them. That was in Indiana. They won 88-72, no problem. Covered as 8-point favorites. The Storm, meanwhile, also coming off of a win and a cover. It was over Phoenix. But it was in Phoenix. They won by 6. They covered as 4-point dogs. And these teams have already played twice this year. Connecticut won both times. I believe the Storm covered the first time out of the gate. But the last time they played was more recent, July 6th. The Sun won by 20. So I'm expecting the Sun to have no trouble here again.
Yeah, that 20-point game wasn't actually even that close. I think it got into the 30s at one point. And the Storm are always going to make a run in the fourth quarter of garbage time with the youth that they're putting on the floor, the scrappy, pesky rookies and everything. So this one, I don't know, because it's in Seattle, obviously. It's a little bit of a different team, I feel like, Connecticut team than what we saw in that one. I don't necessarily see a 20 or 30-point game again, but I probably would look towards the Sun here. We have lines, by the way, if you know where to look. We don't have them on
up at the major
Draft
spots
Kings
yet,
or any of the major books. Those should become, I'm sure by the time you're listening to this, we'll have those. But we do have lines. 7, Connecticut's favored by 7, and the over-under is 159. Neither
really
of those
like
feels
seven.
Crazy far off to me. But, yeah, I would lean maybe the Sun at 7. I would probably lean more towards the first half bet. I say this like every time we get a heavy favorite on this podcast.
If it works, don't knock it.
Hammer it home. Yeah, exactly. If it ain't broke, don't fix it. So heavy favorites, first half tends to work out better. Like we talked about, Storm can backdoor sometimes. We don't have half lines yet. We'll see what we get, but I would probably look towards that.
Yeah, and reasoning mostly being just the Sun having maybe some trouble closing out, or more so the Storm coming back in fourth quarters.
Yes, exactly, exactly.
That. Both things happening. I will say I went back and looked at my record, more so my article record for VSiN as opposed to all of my bets, because I'm not including live bets, obviously, when we talk about the articles. But I was looking back, and totals, great. Sides, not as much. So listen to Calvin on the sides maybe a little bit more. At least that's how it's been going for me.
I've been the opposite. I've been pretty good at sides, and totals have been not awesome this year. So that works out great.
We're
full
circle.
We both have one of them covered. Between us, you have good advice on both of them. Just listen to Danielle on totals. I'll get the sides.
Do you have a total for this game, Sun at Storm?
Yeah, honestly, I probably won't hit this one because I would have this around 159 or 159.5 where it is.
Yeah, I could see an over, but this Sun offense has looked a bit spotty for me lately. Not confident enough in that, unfortunately. Maybe on an individual level. Obviously, Dewan has been incredible, something like that. But yeah, I'm not so interested in the total on this one. I do not mind that Sun -7. I don't mind that at all. They are going East Coast to West Coast, so they're traveling. Something to consider. But yeah, let's talk West Coast. Los Angeles Sparks at the Indiana Fever. This is a 4 p.m. Pacific, 7 p.m. Eastern start. The Sparks actually put together a win, you know? They didn't get swept in their last series, which is improvement for them based on all the injuries they've had this season. The Fever is still struggling. Where are you at with the Fever?
Well, I'm not very high on them, but I will say Nelissa Smith is questionable for this game. A lot of the Fever struggles have come since Nelissa Smith was out, since the All-Star break. And we don't know if she's going to play as of when we're recording, but if she plays, I do think she changes things for this team. We have this game as a pick 'em right now, and I probably won't bet it until I get that news for sure. But I think I would lean Indiana if we get Nelissa Smith back, although the Sparks have played Indiana well. Before that win, the Sparks over the Mystics yesterday that we talked about, Indiana is the only team that the Sparks had beaten in the last month, like in all of the month of July. The Fever, the only team that Sparks beat, but they beat them twice. So Sparks have matched
just like
up
the Mercury.
Exactly. exactly. Certain teams just match up well with other teams. And sometimes that works out throughout the season. Sometimes that team makes adjustments. So who knows? But yeah, this is a big one to monitor the injury news for, I think.
Yeah, if Nelissa goes, then definitely in on the Fever. And the line's going to move because they're at home as well. At the state of things, if Nelissa does not play, do you have a side you prefer if this is a pick'em?
I honestly would probably lean Sparks here if Nelissa does not play. I would maybe favor whichever team by 1 or 1.5. So Sparks by 1 or 1.5, move that to the Fever, 1 or 1.5 if Nelissa plays. So honestly, pick'em feels about right if you're going to say Nelissa Smith is questionable and basically 50% chance that she plays. But we've seen the books have gotten better at moving these lines on injury news, but it's not instant. It's not like the NBA.
No, you have
a little
chance.
Window, even if it's only 5 to 10 minutes, to open your book, get the line. So stay vigilant. Turn on the notifications for reporters, whatever you got to do, because you might be able to grab it.
Follow Calvin Wetzel, you know, all the deal. 6 straight unders for the Fever team. And to your point about missing Nelissa Smith, they've covered 1 game in their last 7 games played. And I believe they've won 1 of those games too. It was against the Mercury by 1 point. Didn't cover. They were favored by 5.5. That was probably when no BG, I believe. So yeah, all bad for the Fever right now. It's not fun to bet on the Sparks team right now either, but maybe you're catching them on, I don't want to say an upswing, but a step up from where they were maybe a couple weeks ago, right? Is
yeah.
that fair to say?
Yeah, no, I think you're starting to see them improve a little bit. I think in particular with that Mystics win. That Mystics win definitely showed me something. We'll have to see if they can sustain it. But when you're talking about the total that you mentioned, the Fever 6 straight under, 7 of 8 since the All-Star break, and I think a lot of that is Nelissa Smith out of the lineup. So again, this is one where I'd monitor the injury news, but I lean towards an under here. I probably wouldn't play the over even if Nelissa Smith is back in. I might just lay off, but if she's out, I would definitely hit the under. It's at 159 right now. I could see this more in the mid 150s, the way those Fever games have been going, how low scoring they've been. And sometimes these are 2 of the 3 slowest paced teams in the league. It's not like either offense,
especially lately,
it's a juggernaut. Exactly. So this, I would definitely lean under, and I would even consider the under if Nelissa Smith is back, but probably go lighter, maybe see if the line moves.
Right. She definitely does a lot to facilitate that offense and, again, spread the floor out a little bit more for Aaliyah. But I think even in a first game back, not necessarily heading for an over. And again, the Sparks, a kind of decent defense too at times, at moments from the Sparks. So a lot of reasons to look at an under here. Pace, defense, sort of, and the Fever's offensive woes
and
probably going to continue.
Also, we should point out that the Sparks had a overnight flight delay coming out of Washington, D.C. from
no,
that
they
game.
Did. Why is it always the Sparks? It's, why do I feel like the Sparks are always delayed and trapped?
It's rigged. The league just hates the Sparks is probably what it comes down to. I don't know. I don't know the answer. Maybe airlines hate the Sparks. Whatever it is, will they be tired? Maybe. Maybe it doesn't matter. But it's something to keep in mind. It's a good thing that they have a day in between. But it's always something I'm looking at.
Yeah, definitely travel, something to factor in here. Let's look at the next one. The Minnesota Lynx at the Chicago Sky. The Lynx were on a little cover train for a minute. They had 4 straight covers, which was the best in the league at the time, and then they had to play New York on Friday. They did lose. They didn't cover. Very frustrating because they were 9 points. They were getting 9 here, and they lost by 10, 76 to 66. The under hit on this one, 170.5 was the number, and that was the last time that they played. But outside of that, they had been seeing a lot of overs and a lot of covers. And again, New York, probably some people's number one team now after the defeat of the Aces, which I meant to ask you earlier. Has that flipped for you, Aces?
No.
And no? Okay, because Lindsay D'Arcangelo from The Athletic, she listed them as her new number one. So I didn't know if the Liberty had moved up that list for you yet.
I need to see it again.
Yeah, I agree. And we're going to get to see it a lot more times.
We will.
But where are you at with this Lynx team? Because they're playing a Chicago team that, again, kind of a down year for them, down as of lately, have had flashes of, hey, we can score 100 points when we want to. This Lynx team, not necessarily known for its defense. So my first thoughts are maybe we get an over here.
Yeah. Well, the Sky have scored 104 points in 3 straight games. So
there's
that. They actually
do
have,
that what you will.
If you look at the last 6 games, the Sky have the best offensive rating in the league by far, and the worst defensive rating also by far. And that's going back like two or three weeks. That's not just this weekend when they hung 100 twice on the wings. So
right.
A lot of it is unsustainable. They've been making a ridiculous clip of threes, basically made like half their threes over that stretch. They shot over 50% from three on a high volume. Like, it's not like they're shooting 5 for 9. Like, they're taking over 20 threes a game, still somehow making half of them. Like, no, I don't care if you're the Aces. Like, you can't keep doing that over the long term. At some point, you're going
to
miss three. Talia Copper went two straight games without missing a three this past week. So, you know, at some point, like, the threes aren't going to go in. However, you're playing a Lynx team who historically porous on three-point defense. They allow more threes than anyone in the WNBA ever has. So this is not necessarily the matchup that I'm looking at for the Sky three-point shooting to come back down to earth when you're playing this Lynx defense. I could see this guy continuing to light it up. I don't know if they're going to hit 104 again, but I definitely would look at an over at this one and probably the Chicago Sky spread as well for that reason.
And what number are you seeing for that now?
So I have Sky -3 and total at 165.5. I would probably have Sky mid-single digits, maybe 5.5 or 6, and more like upper 160s for this one. So if you get a Sky team total over, that feels good as well. And if you happen to catch them on the night that they finally go cold shooting, then, you know, oh, well, you can eat
bad
the L. Because yeah, exactly. At this point, I think you got to ride it.
Yeah, I'm with you. I completely agree. And again, like I said, I like to look at these games and before I dive into the stats, sometimes it depends, but sometimes before I dive into the stats, just look through the games and think, what are my first initial impressions when I see this matchup? And that's exactly where I went with this one, is we're looking at overs right now. And as you pointed out, not a great three-point defensive team for the Lynx. We've been saying that week in and week out. So a good opportunity for the Sky to cover it there and have actually been able to, I mean, Elizabeth Williams has looked good. She's contested the paint a little bit. So something going on there for the Sky. Would you lay the points with them? Yeah.
With the Sky?
You would, because you rank this more like in the mid, five.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes, I would.
I would too. I like that too. I have to ask Calvin now because I'm like, spreads. But yes, I like the Sky there as well. And I think we can look for an over. Speaking of overs, the Las Vegas Aces are back at it as well on Tuesday, coming off of that Liberty loss. Embarrassing. People are talking. People are chattering. And now they have to go to Dallas and play a team that has already beaten them this season once before. And again, Dallas dealing with all of the ejections and crazy things that happened in their game on Sunday. At least they're at home. This is a 5 p.m. Pacific start, by the way, 8 p.m. Eastern. The Aces got to be mad in this spot, right? They got to be mad.
Well, I think both teams are really mad, which makes this matchup really interesting, because we talked about all the reasons for the Wings to be mad, but obviously the Aces losing by 38, they're looking for a bounce back too. So this is an interesting spot. Right now I got Aces -9. Well, the line is Aces -9. The total is
11 the last time they played.
In the Wings, they covered the first game. They won the second game. They barely didn't cover the third game that these teams have played. So the Wings have played them extremely well this year.
Matched up well.
Part of me leans the Wings at +9, but at the same time, when you look at the Aces, granted, the Aces have only had two losses before the Liberty, and then this applies to the Liberty too. When you look at these super teams, 8 losses before this past one, and all 8 times the super team, twice with the Aces, 6 times with the Liberty, covered the first half pretty easily in the next game. So that's what scares me off from hitting the Wings full game here, is I do think we get another, and we've seen this from the Aces all year, cover the first half, get backdoored on full game. So I could easily see that happening again here. Maybe you get backdoored on 9, but I would rather get the Wings alive at halftime. And that worked out in the last game perfectly. The Wings, I don't know if you have that box score in front of you, but the Wings were down, I want to say, around 17.
Last time they played.
At halftime, the last time they played.
Yeah.
And the third quarter score, the Wings went on a huge run.
It was 17.
Ended up cutting it to 2 or 3 at one point. What were they? Do you have it there? What were they down by at the end of the third quarter?
I don't have that added up, but they were down by 17 at the half, it looks like. And then they outscored them in the third quarter by 10, 31-21.
So there you go.
Cut
exactly.
That to a
so
7.
That, in that game, it would have made a lot more sense to take the Wings live at halftime. You get a much better number. I think that could be the case here, too. So if you like the Wings +9, probably see if you can get double digits once the Aces jump all over them. But I would look at Aces first half as well.
I agree. If you can get double digits, that's perfection here. And fun stat, I don't usually do these ones because, again, different teams, different circumstances, but Dallas had covered before the last game. The Aces were favored by 11 in the last game. They ended up winning by 13, 104-91. But Dallas before that covered 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 straight appearances with the Aces. They didn't win all of those, but I think they were constantly undervalued in the way that they would match up with this Aces team. Over the last couple of years, we've seen that, and we've seen both of these teams on the rise in certain categories. So I do think that's interesting. Broke that streak for them last time. I'm sure they'll come back for it this time. I agree with you. I wish I was getting double digits here. It seems silly because it's a team that we've already seen, again, match up well and beat them once this season. It's like 9 points. Take that. It's wonderful. But I agree. You're getting the Aces out of this like tough spot. And so maybe you want to see if they come out and kind of punch them in the face and you can get a better number. As far as the total, would you look to an over here?
I would, yeah. Especially if you're on it because you're the totals queen. But we'll as high as this is, mid-170s, I think this hits 180. So
yeah,
I would look at an over here too. And the way these two teams match up with each other. I got to give credit to Miles Ehrlich, friend of the show, who pointed out that the Aces, since Candace Parker went down, have been allowing towards the top of the league in terms of, as in the one of the worst in the league, in allowing second chance points. It just changes the rebounding. Even though Kia Stokes is a solid rebounder, she's not Candace, number one, and it's just a domino effect with their bench that when they have to go small with Alicia Clark in there. And, I mean, that's what we talked about, how they got punked by the Liberty in terms of the offensive glass. And I think that's why the wings match up so well with them, is because of the wings throw these massive bodies at you in waves that crash the offensive glass so hard. So it, I mean, to me, that lends itself to both obviously the wings spread like we talked about, and also the over, because you know the Aces are going to score with anyone on their end, and they're going to spread out, you know, have it be a tough matchup for the those bigs to guard for the wings. But on the other end, like, the wings are going to get theirs too, just by in terms of second chance points, whether their shots go in or not. So I lean it over, but I need to know what you think too, because if you're on the over, I'm on the over.
You know, it's a touch high for me. It is a touch high for me. You like to hope that the Aces would play more solid defense coming out of that, but I'm glad you pointed out this Candace Parker stat. Shout out to Miles. Miles is actually the first person that I hugged when I was wearing my Liberty sweatshirt, because I was at the New York game and Miles came over. He was working the game, and got to meet him in person. So that was fun. And if you're just listening at home, I'm wearing a Liberty sweatshirt today to celebrate the win. I'm not against the Aces. Just that was a performance worthy of wearing the sweatshirt. But that said, I'm glad you brought up the Candace Parker thing, because people were harping earlier in the season, before they realized that she had a foot injury that she was playing through the entire time, that she wasn't contributing in the same ways. And I think we were all very aware that she was coming into a championship team and her role would change a little bit. But I very much stood by the fact that she anchored that defense. And that's what she did for the Sky as well, that led them to a championship. So her being out actually is an issue and will affect this Aces defense, as Miles pointed out, as you just pointed out. The other thing I was thinking when you were talking was how confusing it must be for people who follow basketball, and one of the team's name is Wings, and we're like, there's wings that are players. So you're saying it's easier for the Wings to score, and I'm like the Wings on the other team, or the Wings, the Dallas Wings. So I'm realizing how confusing that is for people. Not an important note, but just something to notice. That said, this total's a little high for me. What did you say it's at right now?
175.5.
Yeah. You're not going to get something lower is the thing. You're probably not going to get something lower. And I don't think that we're going to have a slow start to the game. I don't think that's going to happen. So I think if you want to bet the over, pregame would be the time to do it. Yep. But this would be one that I would probably dodge, just because it looks about right to me. It looks high enough. We could absolutely end up in the 180s, but the line is high enough as is, in my opinion. There's other ways to bet totals that day, I guess. You guys know me, very cautious, cautious and cautiously optimistic about the Mystics. Look at that. We love when it happens. Washington Mystics are in action. Also, it's a 7 p.m. Pacific start, so that's 10 p.m. for our Eastern friends. They are at the Phoenix Mercury. They're on West Coast time. And the Mystics, I mean, again, they've been marred by injuries, but I saw that Kareem Copeland tweeted out recently on Monday that Elena Deladon, Ariel Atkins, Shakira Austin, Christy Tolliver, all traveling on the Phoenix Las Vegas trip. Does that mean we're going to get any of them back, or are they just along for the ride?
Well, that's what I'm wondering. I mean, to me, it's only a 2-game road trip. So it's not like you're bringing them on this trip that's going to last mm-hmm. 2 weeks for seven games because they might be back at the end of that. Like, if you're bringing them, that to me, that does imply that at least one of these players is going to be back, maybe not for this game, maybe for the Aces mm-hmm. game. We'll see, but...
Yeah, looking ahead a little bit.
Yeah, exactly.
I'm seeing Atkins is a no-go for Tuesday. Tolliver's a no-go for Tuesday.
Did we just get the injury report since we've been recording?
No, but I'm seeing at least those two. I'm not sure about EDD or Shakira Austin at okay. this point.
Yeah, this is a tough one because so right now we have Phoenix is favored by 2.5. Total is 157.5, but it's tough because, I mean, we talked about Nelissa Smith having a big impact, obviously. You're talking about...
Ooh, Elena upgraded to doubtful.
Okay, okay, there you go. Hey, you know, the last time we saw a player upgraded to doubtful was a week ago when Nafisa Collier was upgraded to doubtful. She ended mm-hmm. up being upgraded to questionable, and then she played. So, doubtful doesn't
cross
mean
your fingers.
Out.
Elena, maybe we get EDD.
Play. We might. Shakira Austin, too. I mean,
yeah,
this is a massive, massive impact. You're talking about... one step below, you know, the super teams in terms of championship contender when they're fully healthy mm-hmm. versus literally like a lottery team level, in my opinion, like one of the yeah. worst teams in the league when with what they've been putting out there with three right. of their five starters out in the last few weeks. So, I mean, this could swing both the spread and the total mm-hmm. humongously. I would absolutely monitor the injury news on this one, even more than you would in the Fever, but if we see the same Mystics team that we have been seeing with those three starters out, Christy Tolliver out, I would probably lean towards the Mercury here at home.
Laying points.
Laying points. I just think
the Mercury.
That these two teams, you're talking about, you know, if you get a fully healthy Mercury team and a Mystics team full of backups, to me, they're about at the same level. So home court gives you points. I know it's 2.5, but I would put it even a little bit higher, maybe 4 or 4.5. But
they have a great crowd, the X factor for the Mercury.
They do.
They are 6-7
I
ATS at
lead
home.
League in attendance this year, which is crazy.
Oh, they do. It used to be the Storm, correct? And then obviously lost Sue Bird, lost Brianna Stewart.
Yeah.
Maybe took a dip
and,
there.
And now it's either the Aces or the Mercury. They're both up there.
Yeah.
I wouldn't hit this until...
Shout out the Mercury fan base. So loyal.
Yes, like, yeah, it's impressive. That,
a 7-win team, right? Psh, come on.
Yeah, I mean, they've obviously had some big moments to show up for. The return of BG, the, you know, Dan Atrocity getting 10K, but they've been showing up for the other games too. So,
yeah.
Shout out to them.
Which, by the way, we cashed that, or I cashed that. Dan Atrocity made it on a 3-point.
You cashed that.
That was the only way. Yes, that was the only way. It was written. It was written, of course. That's just numbers. Shoots tons of those. But no, I'm surprised you want to lay points with Mercury, but I agree with you. A little bit better at home. 6-7 against the spread at home. 3-11 against the spread on the road. So very much not in a situation to cover any spreads when they're on the road. As far as totals, they hit unders more often than not. The Mystics lately as well. This one's pretty low.
Yeah, I don't think I can hit an under on 157.5. I mean... that Mystic Sparks game got into the 170s. We've talked about the Mystics been playing at a faster pace. So again, this is another one where it's tricky because when you know, the pace might slow down if they get some of their players back, but you're also going to start making shots if you put EDD back on the floor. So I don't know if I'll hit the total one way or the other, regardless of mm-hmm. who's on the floor.
You know what
or
I want to do in this game is bet it live.
Yes, I agree.
Because when you get two teams like this, that again, the Mystics, it's just like a wild card. Like, what are they going to pull out of the hat, right? And the Mercury, just as struggling as they have been this season, you could get a Mercury on a really good night at home, but you can't guarantee you're going to get that. So I like to see these games live and see who's matching up better and how the game is looking. And you're not going to see a lot of change throughout the game, I find. I don't think the first quarter is going to be drastically different than what we see in the second half. So you can get in on this one and see which way things are going. The thing that works against you is if the Mercury do look really good, you're not going to get that same number that you got at open, which again, what is it, 2.5 now?
2.5.
So if you're, yeah. So if you do want to take that pregame number, I wouldn't hate that, but I would rather bet this live or not bet it at all is where I would land with this one.
Yeah, I'm with it on betting live. I probably won't actually be hitting that 2.5, even though I lean that way, just because I could easily see the Mystics getting even just one of their players back, one of those four. changes the whole complexion, and then all of a sudden your Mercury minus 2.5 is already in the trash can before the game starts. So I'm not gonna hit it.
And also, since losing EDD and right around the All-Star break, the Mystics did actually beat Phoenix already the last time they played, 84-69. They had no trouble. That was in Washington, at least. That's different. But I just think that's something to consider, is that this is a lower level team. So beating the Mercury is always on the table pretty much right now, unfortunately. Like, it's a 7-win team. The Fever are a 7-win team. The Mystics are struggling right now to put out like a half decent product. But this is a team they can beat. The Mercury are a team they can beat.
And this is one
that anybody can beat right now, unfortunately.
Jim Turvey, another friend of the show, brought up
a
good
let's
point.
Let's shout out all the friends today.
Let's just give everybody some love. I got to give Jim some love because he had a great idea when we were texting that if you get, you know, right now we don't have anything other than the main spread and the main total, but if you get alt spreads before the injury news comes out, we already got the news that Elena Delladon is doubtful, but before you get anything confirmed, Mystics alt spread might be a good little sprinkle of, because if you get Mystics, let's say minus 4.5 right now, that's got to be like plus 500 or something. And then all of a sudden Elena Delladon comes in and plays.
Right.
All of a sudden that's the regular spread and you got it at like plus 500. So obviously that's not something to go big on, but I like that idea on Jim's part, and I may end
up
doing a little bit of that.
It's a benefit for them to have her come back for this Mercury game versus having her maybe ramp up for that Aces game that's after the Mercury game.
I think it's good for her to shake off rust if she's ready to play.
In this game. Yeah, yes. If possible. I agree. I don't think the first time you come out would be this Aces game. But again, listed is doubtful, so we'll see. Win of the week, Calvin. What's your win of the week?
So
it's a long one, so I'm trying to get us out.
for
the good people.
So I hung out with some friends the other night, Friday night, getting drinks, you know, just talking. And one of my friends who is a new friend who I just started hanging out with the last month or so, only hung out a few times, met him.
Aren't new friends the best?
Friends are the best, and he's a great guy.
Expectations are low.
As long as we're giving people love, I'm going to shout out Adam Jacob, who I've only met like three times, but great guy. We were talking about betting because he bets tennis, did bet tennis, and he had never bet the WNBA before, and so I got him in on it. And
you got a convert?
I got a convert, placed his first WNBA bets on Saturday, I think, and Sunday.
How did they go?
Some of each. I will say I felt bad because there were two bets that I got him on, and then he got 1 point worse than what I did. And both of them landed at the exact spot where I won and he lost, which is like the odds of that are ridiculously low. I felt horrible about it, but he's cool. We're going to get it back. He got some wins too. We got him some wins. So, and we got him watching the games. Aces Liberty. And I believe he was watching the night before Storm Mercury, the first game that he bet on.
Nice.
So, it's anytime
you got a convert, that's a huge win
to either betting or even just watching and following the WNBA. Yeah, exactly. A convert.
That's all we're trying to do here.
The league. That's what we're all about.
We're spreading the good word of the W. That's what we do out here with W's. That's a win. You got a convert. I think that's huge. And also, luckily, he's already a better, like, he bets on tennis, because I think the biggest shock for people is like, don't people win all the time, or how come I lose every time? It's like, if you're good, you're hitting it like 55% of the time. That's the best we can hope for. It's not as easy as it looks. Bet the W was not built in a day, it was more like a week, so just keep that in mind. And Calvin and I will always be here for you, so make sure you follow him on Twitter at cwetzel31. You have me at Danielle Avari. Thank you for joining us today. We'll be back on to preview the Thursday slate. We'll be back to preview the Thursday slate, so make sure you join us then for another episode of Bet the W.